One step, one treat, one day at a time. Welcome to Counting Towards Sinai, a project of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Moskowitz, and this week we are focusing on the Midah of Kinah. So when it comes to Midos Ra'os like Kinah, the consensus is usually that we try to figure out ways to minimize or mitigate the Midah's power over us. But Revolba in Alei Shor points out that Midos aren't meant to be entirely eradicated or even neutralized, even bad Midos, because there is a practical application of purpose even for bad Midos. For example, Taiva motivates us to have children and populate the world, or the desire for Kavod is a very strong motivator in growing in one's learning. And even Kas could be applicable if it's directed towards Rasha'im, evildoers. Because the Midas that we encounter within us aren't meant to be destroyed or muted. They're actually very important tools. And Revolba says it very clearly. He says, "Ein efo lezalzel bekochos hamitgalim bekirbenu. Kulam nechutzim v'chashuvim. Ein lanu ela lishof laharkava hanechona v'lechivun hanachon." Our job, even with bad Midas, with Midos Raos, is harkava nechona and kivun nachon, to activate and rouse the Midah properly and to direct it in the proper direction. And the same thing applies for Midas HaKinah. In fact, Chazal even pointed out very clearly in Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph, and Chazal tell us, Kinas Sofrim Tarbe Chachma. Jealousy of learned people increases wisdom. And we have examples of this, Kinas Sofrim Tarbe Chachma, from none other than Avram Avinu and Rachel Avinu. So the Yalkut Shimoni teaches, Ilule Shekine Avraham, Lohaya Kona Shamayim Va'aretz. If not for the fact that Avraham Avinu was Mekane, he would not have been Kona Shamayim Va'aretz. What does that mean? So when Avraham Avinu encountered Malki Tzedek, who we know was Shem ben Noach, so Avraham Avinu asked him, in what chus did you survive the Mabel in the Teva? Right? This was not this wasn't a slam dunk. You were going to be stuck in this floating oasis for an interminable amount of time and with very limited resources. How in the world did you survive? And his assumption was that there was some sort of zchus, tzedakah, that Malki Tzedek had engaged in while he was in the Teva that garnered him the merit to be able to survive. And that's what Avraham Avinu asked him. He said, how did this work? How did you have enough zchus? What tzedakah could you have engaged in when all there was were you and your family, Noah, and it was Noah and his sons? And Malki Tzedek explained that what they did was they actually did chesed with the animals, and that, in fact, they were so busy caring for them, they didn't even sleep. Okay, and that we know. That's something that we're familiar with. But when Avraham Avinu heard this, his response was, if doing chesed and stucco with animals gave them the merit to leave the teva hale and healthy, so Allah has kama v'kama, even more so, should I endeavor to do chesed with mankind, who aren't animals, they're created b'tzelem elokim. Osa shah vayita eshel bebe'er sheva, Achila, Shtia, Velina. And that's when Avraham Avinu set up his famous Eshel, that's when he started on what we can call almost like his epic chesed campaign, where he endeavored to be mischased with all the wayfarers who were coming and going. And the Yalkut says that Avraham Avinu was mekane in Malki Tzedek, right? It uses that lashon, but what we see is that this was a very motivating kinah. It wasn't a kinah that just kind of left him wishing he were Malki Tzedek. It was a kinah that spurred him to action. It wasn't a kinah that reduced him to anger and unhappiness. It was a kinah that motivated him to grow bigger himself. Another example that we have is of Rachel Imenu in Parshas Vayetze, when the Pasuk tells us, Vatikana Rachel Be'achosa. When Leah had her fourth child, so it was actually obvious to her and to Rachel Imenu that she had merited more than her fair of the Shvatim. Because simple math dictates that 12 Shvatim divided by 4 wives equals 3 Shvatim per wife. And here Leah had just given birth to a fourth son, a fourth Shevet. So she was like one over her allotment. And Rashi explains, that what Rachel Imenu was mekane when she was jealous of Leah was not of Leah herself, and not even of the fourth child that Leah had just had, but rather of the ma'asim tovim that Leah must have had in order to merit birthing another shevet. And again, what we see here is that her kinah brought her to action, because her response was to give her shivcha to Yaakov Avinu to have a child. And according to the Mefarshim, this was an act of a tshuva on her part. And in the continuation of the Medrash, we actually see that Hashem rewarded her for this tshuva, and the tshuva that was motivated by her kina. And the Medrash says that what was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel, and she became pregnant. So we see here that kina sofrim, jealousy of someone else's spiritual stature or their accomplishments, spiritual accomplishments, seems to be encouraged because it motivates us to action and self-improvement. And here, I think, is where we have to make an important delineation. Because what we see here is that the kina sofrim that we saw in Avraham Avinu and in Rachel Imenu were very, very clear and specific in telling us that their kina was only for the ma'asim and not for the people themselves. We have to recognize that once the midah of kina is invited in, it has to be dosed with caution, even for something as admirable as kina sofrim, because there's always the danger that it will metastasize into the bad kind of kina, and that it won't be maintained and remain only that good kina for the ma'asim, but it will actually morph into being mekana the person themselves, and that we have to tease out the ma'aseh from the person, and that's super tricky because our kina could very easily overflow into a kina for the person themselves. So another danger that kina sofrim can potentially engender is actually alluded to by Rav Volba. I remember seeing in Shiurei Chumash where he discusses kina sofrim briefly, and there he cautions that a person has to be in a very, very strong, healthy emotional state in order to be able to avail themselves of kina sofrim, and he has to have a very strong sense of his positive attributes and capabilities before he actually tries to follow the dictate of Chazal and in kina sofrim, and use it laharbos chachma, because it's very easy to see the impressive accomplishments of other people when they can potentially influence us on the one hand to be bigger and better. They also have the capacity to drown us in self-doubt and self-recrimination and self-criticism. They can turn us almost against ourselves and turn into, like, you know, very negative statements like, oh, look what they were able to do. Look who they became. Look what they were able to accomplish. I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'm not worthy. So Rav Volba recognized the potential of kina sofrim to kind of slip down and devolve into these negative critical messages that we may give ourselves. And he really, really cautioned and kind of alluded to the fact that it's not so applicable to us, at least in the generic sense. But at the same time, we really do want to figure out how to harness the power of kina sofrim, but at the same time, still safeguard ourselves against its potential pitfalls. So let's talk about that for a minute. So let's circle back to the Ibn Ezra that we brought earlier this week, which discussed the key element in understanding who we're jealous of. And if you remember, we said that we're more prone to be jealous of people with whom we overlap, people who we see as our peers, whether professionally, religiously, intellectually, even like age-wise. And perhaps we can use this understanding of kina to filter out the people that we allow ourselves to develop kina sofrim for. Because if I see someone in my shul who's just like me, and I notice her spiritual accomplishments, so she's more likely to arouse my kina, but not kina sofrim, rather a negative kina where I'm focusing on the fact that she achieved these spiritual gains, as opposed to focusing on the spiritual gains themselves, where I'm jealous of her as opposed to being mekane her spiritual stature, and therefore feeling motivated to achieve that and improve myself. Compare that with someone who lives in another state, like, or another city, or just, you know, totally nothing to do with me, not in my peer group, not in my social circle, not someone I encounter on a regular basis, and I hear of her spiritual accomplishments. I'm more likely to focus on the spiritual accomplishments themselves than on the person, and use them as motivation to up my game and not feel bad about myself, because I have nothing to do with this person. She's totally disconnected from me. She's not part of my milieu. That's one of the ways, or I would say an important way, that we can avail ourselves of kina sofrim while not drowning in the potential self-deprecation and negativity that it might engender. So I really want to thank you for joining me this week. I really enjoyed exploring Mira Sakina with you. And I want to give you and also myself a bracha that Hashem sent a siyata d'shmaya to work on this midah so that we can become more aware of and appreciate what he's given us in order to be our best selves and to engage in the tafkid he has assigned each of us, our atzmias and not our atzamot. B'hatzlacha rabba. Thank you for learning together.